Accession number 31054, Reel 3.
Mr. Walter Foster, Reel 3. You were telling me about your arrival and stay at Dover Court. How long were you there altogether, do you think, before moving on? Was it a few weeks or months?
From December until May.
Ah. So the weather was getting a bit warmer, was it, when you left?
I remember. English lesson. Very nice lady trying to teach us English. I remember the first sentence that she made us repeat. It was, in a good year in England, spring begins in February. It wasn't a good year then.
No, this would have been the spring of 1939, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
And I haven't seen many good years in that sense. I don't recall so many good years where spring begins in February.
You had an optimistic teacher, I think, didn't you?
Yes.
Did you want to move on? Did you know that some children were being fostered, were sent out to other homes?
Well, every Sunday there was what we called the slave market, when nice people came, usually couples, came to look for suitable children to take home. But little girls, particularly with long blonde hair, were in great demand, but adolescent boys were not.
When did you finally go? When were you sent on to your next place?
This would be
in May, yes.
The next place was a farmhouse near Ipswich where they sent a group of teenage boys, older boys, and I went with such a group to Barham House near Ipswich.
What were things like there for you at Barham House?
Fairly primitive.
Were the people kind to you though? Were there kind people there, or was it different?
All the people were kind, yes. But there was a shortage of everything, including food. Then one day I and three others were asked to come to the office, I suppose it must have been, where we were told that a small Jewish community in an outer suburb of London was opening a hostel for boys of our age. So we went.
That would have been Mrs. Bergman, would it? The lady in charge of that. Am
yes.
I right in thinking?
Yes.
So, would it just have been the four of you, the four boys there?
Yes, four boys. And the Jewish community that ran the hostel also needed a place for the minister to stay, so he was there too.
Were you getting better food there?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Was it more like a home for you, do you think,
yes.
in that house?
Yes.
You were mentioning the minister. So, were you expected to observe these sort of religious practices at this time, the Jewish religious practices?
Yes. And everybody was very shocked at how ignorant we were.
Yes, I should have asked you about this in your home. Were you not an Orthodox home? Or
no. No. My parents were not observant.
So how did you relate to having to go to these religious services?
Reluctantly.
Did they make you go?
Yes, but we couldn't refuse. You see, in the Jewish religion, to have a service, you need a quorum of 10 adult males. And a Jewish boy is adult in the religious sense at age 13, so we were adults. So the good people who funded the hostel were glad that by having four boys they had 40% of the quorum.
Did you continue with your education while you were there?
Yes, they sent us to the local technical college where we had a good training as engineering fitters. That technical college also trained apprentices from the Ford Works in Dagenham. So we got a very good training. which later on was enough. For me to become a Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineer in the Army. I still have a few pieces of tools that I made with my own hands.
Were you hearing from your parents and brother at this time? You know, it would have now been after May 1939, the months are going on towards the war. Had you news from home? What was happening to them?
Oh, yes. Regular. But that news showed me that they had no sort of appreciation of the overall situation. Well, we had. We could see the war coming. We listened to radio and read newspapers. And while I was at the hostel, there was the whole of the Czechoslovak business. And to me it was absolutely clear that Hitler wouldn't stop at that. And that there must come a point at which he will have to be stopped, and that meant war. But my parents didn't see it that way. So I take great credit for having sent them a telegram. How I could finance it, I don't know. But I must have had little money saved. Sent them a telegram to tell them to get out quick.
And were they able to do that?
Yes, they were. And they left Vienna with literally the last train that left before war broke out.
And would that have been your parents and your brother?
No, my brother. My brother had come to England meanwhile in a different scheme, not the Kinder Transport, but in order to help slightly older people like my brother, there was a scheme that an army camp of the First World War near Sandwich, Richborough camp, Kitchener camp in Richborough. Was opened for people who had a prospect of moving on somewhere else but needed temporary refuge. So my brother went to Kitchener camp.
Were you able to see him when he came over? Did he visit you or you?
Yes, he visited me a couple of times.
Was that important for you to have a brother in the country with you?
Yes. I much enjoyed that.
And where did your parents go?
To Palestine, as it then was. But they had tickets to go by boat from Trieste in Italy to Haifa in Palestine. But as they left Vienna on the night before war started.
Did you know about that? Did you know that your parents were on their way out when war broke out?
Not until some days later.
Oh. I expect that was a big relief, wasn't it, when
yes.
you heard that?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
But when they got to Trieste, the boat wasn't going. It was delayed because Mussolini was considering of whether he should enter the war on the side of Hitler or not. And he took his time. So they were stuck in Trieste for a couple of months.
So once war started, we had this period known as the Phony War,
yes.
before the fall of France, which of course you know the history of so well. How were things for you during that time? This would have been before there was the panic about invasion.
Yeah. Well, During that time, I was at the hostel and of course we listened to news and read paper and followed events. I remember very clearly all the first day, the Denmark and Norway affairs, and then the Holland and Belgium and France.
Did you expect there might be an invasion of Britain? Were you very worried about that?
Well, I personally didn't.
Oh.
But everybody else did.
Why didn't you expect that when Hitler had made so many moves and taken over so many countries?
Yes, and there were those silly rumours of German parachutists dressed as nuns being dropped in the Netherlands, and so there was the question of whether we would be interned.
Did you anticipate that? As you had sort of foreseen so many other things, did you realise that that might happen to people like yourself?
Well, I had to go to what was called an aliens tribunal. That was at Stratford, Our Majesty's Court. The magistrate was a fierce, very unfriendly chap. Who else? Difficult questions. I mean, questions which he must have known were impossible to answer. Like his one question I remember particularly. He asked me, would you like to stay in this country? And I replied unwisely, you know perfectly well that I'm not allowed to stay here, that I was allowed to come here on condition that I move on somewhere else. And he took exception to that. He probably wanted me to say, yes, I would love to stay here. But so he classified me category B. And later on heard, I don't know whether it's true, but it sounds plausible, that the refugee committee in Bloomsbury House had agreed with the aliens tribunals that all boys of that sort of age should be classified B, because that stopped us roaming about. Because if you were classified B, you were not allowed to be away from your home address without special measures. That made it almost impossible to go anywhere else. I've not been able to find out whether there's truth in that. That was agreed. But anyhow, that was it. So I was B, and being B meant that I was interned on the 17th of May 1939, while category C were not interned until 2 or 3 weeks later. Not that that would have made much difference, because after all I was interned for a couple of years, and a couple of weeks would not have made much difference.
So did they come and arrest you on that day?
Yes, on the 17th of May, a policeman in uniform came to the hostel and took away us four boys and took us to the local police station, where they searched us. We had to empty our pockets. And in a sort of Austrian tradition, I had all my personal documents in the wallet. And the policemen, they wanted to know what every piece of paper was. I'm not sure what they thought that they might find, but anyhow, that's how it was.
What was their attitude to you? How did they treat you?
Unpleasantly. They locked us up in a cell. And were very unpleasant in their manner. Treated us as criminals.
So where did they take you after that?
Kempton Park Racecourse. Where we stayed for about a week.
Where did they put you in the on the race course? What sort of accommodation?
The tote hall, totally set hall, the betting shop. Well, there was a concrete floor for us to sleep on.
What sort of group would you have been there? Would you all have been refugees, or were there other people, other...
No other people, no.
Just refugees?
Yes, all of us, yes.
And after the week there, where did they take you then? After the race course?
After the race course, we were sent to Highton, near Liverpool, where we were put into unfinished housing estate, which had been fenced off with barbed wire.
And again, how were you treated? You know, was the treatment unpleasant still, or were there more friendly people about?
No, there were no friendly people at all. It was thoroughly unpleasant.
How about your food situation and, you know, sort of sanitary conditions? Were these okay?
Sanitary conditions. Were poor. I mean, they were unfinished houses. Some had bathrooms and others did not. But, of course, there was no hot water because if you said anything, the answer was always, "Don't you know there's a war on?" And food. Was poor. It was supposed to be army food, but from an army cookhouse, but not of army quality.
You would then have been 17, I think. Am I right in thinking that? You would have been 17?
16.
16, yes. Very. One of the youngest.
Yes.
One of the youngest, yes. What? How did you feel? What was your morale like at this time? Being sort of arrested and, well, in prison, really, weren't you?
Yes. The only thing that we really were interested in, the only thing was to be let out again. We had a camp song. Which went, "You'll get used to it, you'll get used to it.